Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1. And pray the Lord will speak to our hearts this morning. I'm aware that I have preached on this text within the last year or so. But I believe y'all have sung Amazing Grace twice since I preached this text. Amen. I believe so. And so I didn't want y'all to think I was losing my mind or anything. But I just couldn't get away from this thought, and so I want to try to be obedient to what I feel like the Lord would have us to say this morning. I like what one preacher said, when you're preaching the Holy Ghost and God's preaching through you, each message is different. And two people agreed with that, and I'm so glad to find that. Amen. I don't know if I scared you by saying the Holy Ghost or not. Y'all not scared of the Holy Ghost, are you? Amen. You know, you can have talented singers that can sing. You can have an orator that can orate his word, speak, and I mean do a great job in eloquency speaking. You don't have one, but you can have one like that. It can speak, but without the power of the Holy Ghost, without the power of the Spirit of God, everything is vain. And I'm afraid we got a lot of. I mean, what Paul told Timothy in the last days, what would happen? Amen. He mentioned that they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There's a lot of people going to church, but we're talking about something more than just going to church. Amen. Amen. Well, we might ought to just pray, and we'll sing a few more songs, and after y'all get woke up, we'll have church. Amen. All right. Hey. Okay. All right. Matthew chapter 1, I'm going to read since time is going so fast. I'm doing the Christmas story now. Don't want to make sure I didn't miss it, okay? All right. Okay, Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18. And the Bible says, once upon a time. I'm just going to see if I can get y'all woke up. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, for they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And that, help me out with that. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name, help me now, and he called his name Jesus. Ain't there something about hearing that name, ain't there? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for loving us. God, I know we've been in services all last week, several days. God, I pray now you'll help us once again to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. We need you, God. I pray, Father, you'll use us, anoint us, and fill us in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Well, I feel kind of awkward bringing such a familiar text, and when you find out what my text really is, it'll be real familiar to you. And after all this great preaching we heard last week, and I've got such a simple thought this morning, but I believe this is what the Lord would have us to talk about. Now, I said I started out with once upon a time. Do you realize they done a survey several years ago? The first time I ever preached on this text, as far as preached here at the church on this text, I believe was back in 2011, I preached on the text. And so somewhere right around in there when I was getting drawn my information to preach, probably around 2010, they'd done a survey. And as they surveyed the people, they asked them what they thought about Jesus. And do you realize 2 out of every 5 wondered if they really ever was a person that the Bible really spoke of, a real person named Jesus? Do you realize that's almost half of the people they surveyed did not believe, if they did not really know if there was really a Jesus? That's a sad commentary upon America today. Amen. And so, but I'm afraid sometimes we read these stories as once upon a time stories. Amen. But what this story is true, and this story is real. Amen. And even though there are some things in this that might make you think that it's once upon a time, because here it's going to tell us about a young lady that was with child without ever knowing a man. But see, that, my friend, is the truth of the Word of God. Matter of fact, if you don't believe Jesus, is without doubt Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Matter of fact, it goes on to say that the Bible says, verse 23, behold, a virgin. So that was prophesied about 700 years before Isaiah prophesied that would come forth. Now, some would like to tell us in this modern world that word virgin just means a young lady. Well, it wouldn't be very hard to prophesy that, would it? That a young lady. But how we was prophesying there'd be a virgin, a lady that never knew a man, a young maiden that had never knew a man, and she would bring forth a son. And it's very clearly in your King James Bible, it's very clearly in verse number 20 told us that she was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And then it tells us that this son that is born is going to be called Jesus. And his name is going to be Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. Can I tell you, this man that we speak of, this man, my text this morning is simply this: Jesus. My text is Jesus. Amen. Boy, I just want to say a little bit about Jesus this morning. Can I say he's more than some mythical figure? He's more than some man's imagination. He's more than something that's man-made. He's more than religion. He's more than what we just say, a church. He's more than just mere man. He was the God-man. He was Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. He was the God-man. We realize that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. We realize it's God manifested in the flesh. Great was the mystery of godliness. What? That Jesus Christ was revealed to you and I, that flesh, that God took upon himself flesh. And we realize that the Word was made flesh in John. Thank God that you and I know this one that's called Jesus today. Amen. Jesus. Hey, he's more than just a moral teacher. He's more than just a great illustrator, a great speaker. Matter of fact, in that day, they said never a man spake like this man. Amen. But he's more than just that. He's more than just a miracle worker. I mean, the deaf would come to him, he'd make him to hear. The blind would come, he'd make him to see. I mean, he would mess up every funeral service that he came in contact with. Hey, he could walk out into the cemetery and say, Lazarus, come forth. And a mummy would come out of the grave, clothed, bare. Amen. Lazarus would come out, and they had to unwrap him and let him go, loose him and let him go. Why? Because he's Jesus, the Son of God. There's more. He's more than just a character in history. He's more than just some name that we use. He's more than just someone that people knows about. Hey, he is the Savior of the world. Amen. That's the very first thing he begins to tell us about Jesus. Look at verse number 21. Amen. In verse number 21, it says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. He's going to be the Savior. Now, the prophets talked about him. No doubt he would be prophet. The prophets talked about him being a priest. And prophets talked about him being a king. But you know what? He is, without a doubt, a prophet, a priest, and a king. But can I tell you, that really means little to you and I until we know him as Jesus, the Savior of the world. Oh, we need to know him as the Savior of the world. He came to save his people. John the Baptist looked in John chapter 1, verse 29, and said, said, "Behold the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world." Can I say Jesus is the Lamb of God? Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's the one that come to save His people from their sin. Hey, the Lamb that Abel brought stayed the judgment of God. Cain brought the works of his own hands. But Abel brought that blood sacrifice. That blood sacrifice. The Bible teaches us about the shedding of blood. There's no remission. But Cain brought that which was the works of his hand. But Abel brought that lame. And it stayed the judgment of God. You said, Cain was judged, was he not? Matter of fact, the Lord, in his kindness and in his mercy and in his grace and in his love, he come before Cain. He said, "Sin lieth at the door." Some commentaries say that when he said sin, can everybody hear me okay? Some commentaries say that when he says that, that there was probably a lamb there at Cain's door. But I don't know, but I do know this, that sin lieth at the door. And Jesus came to him, the Lord came to him, God came to him and said simply this, "What are you going to do with this?" There's a sin problem. And we needed a sacrifice for sin. And the sacrifice you brought was not adequate. The sacrifice you brought was not enough. The sacrifice you brought, no matter how sincere you brought it, no matter how wonderful you put it together, no matter how delicious it might have tasted, no matter how beautiful it may have looked, the only way that your sins will ever be forgiven is because of the dear Lamb of God. The Lord Jesus Christ's blood was shed for you and I. I'm telling you, we're living in a day of religion. We're living in a day of Hollywood Christianity. We're living in a day where men are getting up here and they're actors on a stage. And they begin to tell you many things. And really what they're wanting to do is they're wanting to entertain you. They want you to enjoy yourself. They want you to come back. And they want you to enjoy the things of this world. And yet they want to gain a crowd. But they won't tell you the pure truth for the Word of God. And that is that it takes without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And they may want to please you, and they may want to tell you you can get to heaven by your good works, or you can get to heaven because of the deeds you do, or you get to heaven because you're just a good person. But this Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none good this morning. And if you and I are going to ever get to heaven, if we're ever going to see the pearly gate, if we're ever going to walk on the street of gold, it'll be through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is the Savior of the world. He's my Savior. He's your Savior. He's the world's Savior. And without Him, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me." Jesus Christ, He's a Lamb. Amen. Abel brought a lamb. We realize that when Moses was wanting to deliver the people out, you know what came in the process of that? All the plagues came. We come to the last plague, the death of the firstborn. When it came to that plague of the firstborn, those Israelites was to go out there and find a lamb. That lamb had been selected. That lamb had been put aside, and it was supposed to be a perfect lamb. And that lamb would have to be slain. And that blood would have to be applied upon the doorpost. And that lamb would have to be prepared inside and cooked. And they would go inside and eat of that lamb for strength for the journey. And the Bible says when the Passover angel came, when the death angel came that night, Passover, when the death angel came to Passover, he said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over." Amen. Amen. When I see the blood. Now, I believe this. I believe if there's an Israelite that day that did not put the blood, I believe that firstborn in the Israelite's family died. I know we're not told about that in the Word of God. But they was not just getting out because they was Jews. And there was no doubt, the Bible talks about a mixed multitude came out. There was no doubt Egyptians that had believed and put the blood maybe on the post. They could have been spared of the firstborn. I believe that now.
Yeah, that's right.
And we know when they came out, there was a mixed multitude that came out. There's some that came out that we know wasn't right, but that's not my text. But the blood was applied. This morning, I wonder, is the blood applied to your heart? Is the blood? So we see in Abel, the lamb had to be slain to stay the judgment of God. The blood had to be applied. The blood had to be applied. Not just shed, but it had to be applied.
Yes. That's right.
Have you applied it to you? Have you believed upon Him? Have you trusted in Him? Have you put your faith in Him? Without doing that, the blood is not applied. You say, well, preacher, I was raised in a Christian home. I've been good all my life. No, you need a Savior. You need a personal walk. You need a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ yourself.
Yes.
Every day when they came into the wilderness and they made the tabernacle, in the morning there'd be a lamb slain. Blood would be shed. At night, blood would be shed. When they went into the tabernacle, built the tabernacle, when they went into the temple and built the temple, guess what they did? In the morning, they shed blood. In the afternoon, they shed blood. You say, preacher, that's such a bloody religion you preach. No, I don't preach a bloody religion. I preach about a sacrifice.
Amen.
About one, the sins that had to be paid for. I really preach about good news to sinners. I preach that, hey, that this world was under doom and under damnation, and we was all going to die and go to hell, but yet there was one that came to be the Lamb of the world. He came before the whole nation. He came for the whole world. I'm glad there's a Lamb. We see there's a personal Lamb. We see there's a Lamb for the family. There was a personal Lamb, Genesis 4:4 for Abel. There was a family, a Lamb for Exodus 12:30. And then in John 11:50, there's a Lamb for a nation. The Bible says in John 11:50, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. He said, don't you know that the Bible, the Old Testament teaches that there's one man's going to die for the nation? Jesus Christ was a lamb for the nation. Then we find He's a lamb for the world in John 1:29. Behold, the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And then we see, and He's a lamb for the universe in Revelation 5:13. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessed and honor and glory and power unto Him that sat upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. He's a universal Lamb. Thank God Jesus Christ is. He is the Lamb of God. Amen. But not only that, Jesus is the peace of God. He's the peace of God. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto you is born a child, and you just son is given. And said, the government shall be upon His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. So our hearts was all guilty before God. We was all lost before Him. We realized that we were separated from God. There was intimacy between us and God. But Jesus Christ has came to make peace for you and I. He died on the old rugged cross to make peace for you and I. Romans 5:1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. Philippians 4:7 tells us we have the peace of God.
Yeah.
Amen. The Bible tells us we have peace that passes all understanding. Amen. Well, I just wonder then why us as children of God in 2018 don't have very much peace.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this, and I'm just going to say it once. And I don't say it with a proud, and not say it, but I'm afraid, and I say it, well, I'm just going to say it the way I feel like the world say it. I'm afraid we've got a lot of people that's got a counterfeit religion. If you don't have a God that can give you peace in the midst of the storm, something's wrong. If you don't have peace, your sins are forgiven, you're not guilty before God, something's wrong. He said, preacher, I've been in church for 20 years. I don't care if you've been in church for 45 years. You can still be lost. There should be something that lives within us that should be able to sustain us in the midst of the storm, that should be able to satisfy us to know that our spirit bear witness with His spirit. There ought to be something that gives us some kind of assurance in our heart that we know God, we know Him as our Savior, that we have a relationship with Him. I believe it was R.G. Lee, that great Southern Baptist preacher, went all over the United States and other continents preaching. But he said this, he said, I feel like, he made this in the book, in a statement in the book, he said, I feel like that probably 75% of the people I preach to are lost. Now, Brother Ware, I'll be honest with you, I don't feel like that. I don't feel like that. I really don't. But I will tell you this, it sure would be sad to get to heaven and find out I was wrong. If we don't watch this third and fourth generation Christians have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, I have a knowledge of all been around the Holy Ghost and been around the moving of the Spirit of God, and they've just got accustomed, they've just got used to what goes on in church. And they've just got used to hearing preaching, and they've so seared their conscience and seared their mind that they sit there almost, even though they're in church. This is going to bother some of you, and I'm not trying to be mean or critical or controversial. But can I tell you, just because you can be a reprobate, not be a sodomite. You can be a reprobate. You know, you can be a rep and not be living in deep, horrible sin. Did y'all hear what Brother Randy Bain said about what the definition of the reprobate? Not able to contain in their mind to be able to make a moral right decision. It's amazing the people today, it names Jesus. And yet they shack up with people. It's amazing that people name Jesus, yet they live in open sin. It seems they can't make a moral right decision. You know, we wonder, and I said I was going to preach for a minute. We wonder why all those smart people in the White House and in our government, I mean, they got all kinds of degrees after their name. You wonder why in the world can't they make some just common sense decisions? Amen. Well, I think Brother Randy Bain said why. They just can't make a right, can't discern. Hey, they can't, didn't this Bible say there'd be a day when people would not be able to discern right from wrong? And they would call that which was right evil, and that which was evil good? And you know what? We're not just living that in the day of this, what we would call those that was unsaved. But if we looked at Christendom today, and we look at our denominations today, and I'll just name them. If you look at the Episcopalians, amen. You look at the Presbyterians. You even look at some of the Methodists. And you, unfortunately, you even look at some of the Baptists. Baptist churches today has sodomites in the pulpit today. Now, they haven't legalized them yet and proved it all. Episcopalian said it's all right. Amen. I called and talked to the leader of one of the churches down here in town after I hadn't been here probably about 5 years. And they just voted there to make that right in the Lutherans and the Episcopalians, and they voted and made it, you know, that it was all right for somebody to serve like that. And so I called and talked to the whatever he would be called, the elder, I guess, and I asked him, sir, how do you evaluate with the Word of God? And this is what he told me. He said, we have three ways of interpreting the Word of God. He said, there's the big, he said, and if I, He said, if we get it down to where anybody can understand it. This is what he told me. Now, this is the illustration he told me. And y'all have already heard it before. He said, it's like a tricycle. You got the big wheel. He said, that big wheel is the Bible. And we interpret things by what the Word of God says. But then going along beside that, he said, we interpret the Word of God by customs of where people live, how people act, the customs of that people. That's the little wheel on the back. And then he had another one for the other wheel. I can't remember what it was. But he said, no, you know what we ride? We ride, what is that one wheel thing? Unicycle. That's what we ride.
Amen.
Amen. So we interpret everything by the Bible. The third one was the history. It was about history and history down through time, history and how history and how things have worked out in history. No, we don't interpret the Word of God that way. We interpret our, thus saith the Word of God. Huh? Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. He's the one that brings peace to you and I. In this world, in Christianity, in Christium, in this world, people have no peace. They have a God that brings no peace.
That's right.
Yeah. A God that brings no deliverance.
Yeah.
A God that does not have the power to save. And unfortunately, we act like we have the same God.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Jesus is. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Lamb.
Yeah.
He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Comforter. I got one more and I'm gone. Jesus is the Good Shepherd.
Amen.
Now, when I think of the Good Shepherd, when I think of the shepherd, what do you think of? I think of somebody following a shepherd. I think of sheep following a shepherd, don't you? One thing about sheep, you don't hurt them, they follow the shepherd. And so I think about him as being a guide. Jesus Christ is our guide. Jesus Christ is our Good Shepherd. John 10:11 says, I am the Good Shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He qualifies. John 10:14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and are known of mine. Hey, he knows us by name. I mean, he knows the hair that's on your head. He knows the thoughts that's going through your brain. He knows everything about you. Amen. He knows the trials you're in. He knows the storms you're facing. He knows the trouble you're in. There's some things about the shepherd. First of all, he provides for the sheep. So those sheep have to have a shepherd for them to provide. I mean, they don't go out and find green pastures. Somebody has to find it for them. Now, you've already heard all this stuff before. I told you I'm preaching such a common message. Y'all have heard such good preaching this last week. This is way down the scale of it. But you know, y'all know this. Jesus likens us to sheep.
Yeah.
And sheep needs a shepherd.
Yeah.
And sheep are dumb.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. And they need somebody to provide for them. And you and I need somebody to provide for us.
Yes.
He's our good shepherd. And then he needs the sheep. Needs somebody. I mean, he's got to have somebody to provide for him. I mean, they ain't going out. I think I'd already mentioned this in another sermon. You know, they ain't going to go out and, you know, we talked about cats. You know, I mean, a cat, you leave it outside, it'll find some food. Amen. Some of us need to leave our cat outside and let it find some food. If things got so fat and fussy. Amen. Somebody say amen. Won't catch nothing. Amen. Amen. The only thing they know is where the bowl's at. That's the only thing. If you have a mouse running through your house, you got a cat that lives inside there, you need another cat. Or you need to put the dish bowl up for a while. Amen. But I mean, that cat's going to claw. Can you see that lamb? Man. Amen. It ain't going to provide for itself. And then the other thing is, that other animals can protect themselves pretty good. But can you see a sheep trying to protect itself from a wolf, from a lion, from a bear? What kind of protection is it going to have? I didn't see that little sheep climbing up a tree. No. I see him running away. Amen. Can you see a sheep with all that wool on it trying to run? What it has protection. You don't realize, young people, y'all need protection. Moms and dads, you know what? We need protection. Grandma and grandpa, we need protection. We need somebody that will protect us. We got a good shepherd. You say, well, how does he protect the sheep? Come here, Ryan, help me out. Come here, Luke, help me out. Wherever I go, y'all go, okay? Okay, y'all just get in behind me. How does a shepherd protect his sheep? Ooh, danger there. What? Our brother Kevin, mean. Got to that way. How does he protect the sheep? He leads them. So if you're not following him, you can sit down, men. Thank you. If you're not following him, he can't protect you. It's really simple. My message is really at the end. I'm not there yet, but it's at the end. He's there to protect us. He leads us. Well, how is he going to lead me? Well, the Bible says that the Spirit of God lives within me. He lives within me. And if that wasn't enough just to have the Spirit of God, he gave me a road map. He gave me an instruction book. All you young couples remember this. Y'all won't probably admit it like me and Deborah will. But when they brought Aaron into the room after he was born, we said, where's the instruction book at? He had his first little dirty. I rolled him back down to the nurse's station. Amen. Amen. But we brought him home. Y'all know what I... Did you remember how you thought, what in the world have we got ourselves into? What's this crying? What's this getting this... What we do for this thing? I mean, I'm just joking. But you know, seriously, it was a learning experience. Now the second one, it was a lot different. Amen? You know, the first one, hold his head like, you know, you felt out thinking bounce up and down wouldn't hurt him. By the time the second one comes along, yeah. I mean, you all this stuff, and you know, you kept him out of this, you kept him out of that, and the second one comes along, I'll just go ahead. Eat a little dirt, won't hurt you. Drop the pass, you don't care no more. Stick it in it. Y'all know I'm right, though. You know what? He's gave us an instruction manual. He gave us something to lead us by. If Deborah and I, when we brought Aaron, if they'd have had a instruction book. Now, we had a parenting book and everything, but if it had an instruction book, what would you want to do? We would have read it. Wouldn't you? You'd have read. You loved that child so much, and many of you did read books. Many of you did read. Deborah was telling me before we ever had Aaron, she was looking at one of those parenting magazines, and they had a article in there, and it talked about when you left the room that baby cried because it was, you know, it knew you was gone, and there was What did they call it? I forget exactly what they call, you know, separation thing. And I thought, how do they know what that baby crying about? They can't tell me they know what that baby's thinking. How do they know that? Well, I guess study and all that. But it was just weird to think they can tell me what that baby thinking. When that baby can't even talk, can't do nothing. Amen. They're trying to tell me. They just selling books, all I got to say. Amen. Amen. I tell you what. There's an instruction manual. There's a guide. And many of you don't have the peace of God like you should have. Many of you, because you're not listening to your guide, you're not listening to what the Word of God says. And you don't have the assurance you need because you're not where you're supposed to be with Him. If you're going to grow in the You're going to grow in faith and all. Somebody said, why does some grow and some don't? Well, some of it's got to do with what they eat. Just like with a baby. Amen. It's got to do with what they eat. I've told you three things. And I want to end with this thought right here. You know, the Bible says, trust the Lord with all the heart. Lean not thy own understanding. All the ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. I believe we have a director, a guide, if you will. My question this morning is Jesus. Jesus is. What is Jesus to you? Jesus is, let's put a blank. Well, I'm glad he's my Savior. Amen. I'm glad he's my comforter. Amen. And I'm glad he's my guide. But what is he to you? Is he just something that we've talked about that we come to Sunday morning to worship? Is he just some figure in a book? Is he just somebody somebody's wrote about? What is Jesus to you? Can you say without a shout of doubt this morning, can you say that Jesus is my Savior? That Jesus is my comforter? That Jesus is my guide? Can you say that? I don't believe all of us could say that. I'm not saying all of us is lost. I'm just saying I don't believe we can really say that we've gave him the right to our life like we should. That we're allowing him to be all that he could be for you and I. Can you say without any hesitation he's your Savior this morning? Can you say without any that he's your comforter? That you find comfort in him when storms come and battles come? Can you say without doubt that he's your guide? That this Bible is what I'm using to raise my children. This Bible is what I'm using to define my life. It's what I'm using to guide me. It's what I'm using to help make my decisions. I make my decisions based upon that Bible. This morning, you know why you should have come to church? Because you love the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But also because the Bible says, forsake not to assemble yourself together. Yeah. You say, well, preacher, I didn't feel like coming this morning. That's why some's not here. Yeah. Now, I know some's sick. I know that. I understand that. I'm not saying you can't ever be sick on a Sunday morning. You know I ain't that crazy. I may look it, but I'm not that crazy. But I will say this. You don't come to church just because you feel like going. If you just come to church when you feel like going, you'll not get the help that you need. So he's your guide. He's your comforter. He's your Savior. This morning, what is Jesus to you? What is he to you? Not what he is to mom and dad, but what is he to you? Not what he is to grandma and grandpa, but what is he to you? Is he the Savior of the world? Is he the one that is comforting you? Is he the one that is guiding you? Can you say that Christ is all I need? We're standing, our heads are bowed.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this church, this place of safety. Lord, that we can come and hear your word taught to us. Lord, you thank you for Jesus, Lord, that he came to this earth to die for us. Lord, we who are unworthy and Lord, really the only righteousness we have is the gift from you. And God, I pray that you would just help us as a family, Lord, as Pastor just mentioned about the safety, Lord, that you would help us to be concerned for each other, Lord, even all throughout the week. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be faithful to your house this evening, Lord, that you'd be honored and glorified by our lives. Lord, I pray you just keep us safe this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen.